Good evening. Some years ago, when I first entered guest house for treatment for my own alcoholism, I spent the first evening after supper, it was on a Sunday, walking up and down the road in front of guest house with another priest. He's dead now. I think he died of a heart attack some years ago, but he died, thank God, a sober man. But I met him the day I arrived, and we just walked for a couple of hours back and forth on the road. All right, guest house was brand new to me. I had had a lovely interview with Austin Ripley, the man who saved my life. And he explained to me in the all-too-brief interview that we had that afternoon somewhat of alcoholism. Thank heavens, I was not in denial. I was eager to go into treatment, and I wanted to get well, and I just gobbled everything that Rip told me. So I was very, very excited about this thing, and I was doubly excited talking to this priest whose stay at guest house was almost at an end. He had been there for 3 months, and he was just about ready to go home. And he was talking to me about AA and meetings and the therapy and what life was like at guest house and all of that. And he seemed very calm and very happy with his sobriety. And I was all excited that this thing that I now knew I wanted, to be sober, was available. It could be done. I was talking to a man who had it. And yet, in the back burners of my mind, oddly enough, and this was a lot of years ago, I can still almost feel the thought I was thinking then. Will I be drinking 10 years from now? I'm all excited about it now, but will I be sober down the road? Well, as we all know, in this magnificent program of ours, we have many just absolutely marvelous slogans that help us to grasp the reality of AA and its therapy and what it means and what it is in a few words. I would like, if I may this evening, just to talk about two of them, which obviously go hand in hand. Easy does it, one day at a time. But first of all, let's look at our disease and what it does to us. We do know that alcoholism is sickness all over. The alcoholic is sick in body, mind, emotion, and soul. And this sickness, this disease, is caused by a compulsive use, uncontrollable use of beverage alcohol. All right. The results are pretty serious in some people. The ultimate result is death. But in those who live and who, thank God, survive, the damage is pretty deep. In fact, we've all heard the expression, when I came to AA, I was bankrupt in body and soul. I was poverty-stricken in body and soul. Well, we all know what that means. We have lived against our conscience. We have done things we wish we had not. We have failed to do things that we should have done. We have lost our self-respect. Most of our human relationships have been either shattered or damaged. Our relationship with God is poor. In other words, we're pretty wrecked when we come to the gates of AA and very feebly knock to get in. The disease is a killer. It is absolutely devastating. It is complex. We don't know what causes it. It is complete. It affects every single facet of the human being. It is utterly devastating, and sometimes it even destroys the people around it. All right. That's what we're faced with. And then comes that magnificent, sweet taste of recovery. Someone leads us to the well of sobriety, and we drink a liquid that we never dreamed existed. The taste and the euphoria resulting from sobriety is indescribable. And it tastes so good And the results of our sobriety are so good when the desire to drink leaves us, and we do discover that we can live outside of a bottle. We just want to stand at that well of sobriety and gulp and gulp and gulp until we're filled. We look at fellow AA members with many years of sobriety, and the feeling of wanting to have what they've got is so deep, it's so burning that it's almost physical. God, when will I have 30 years? When will I be like him? When will I have what she's got? When will I get this serenity that they all speak of? When will my self-respect return? When and how will I be able to pay back all that I owe? How will I be able to make amends? And when we leave a meeting, we can't leave our fellow AA members, and so we go to the coffee shops and the ice cream parlors and talk and talk and talk, sometimes into the middle of the night. We're dying for that next meeting. Now, obviously, there are a lot of people who are still in denial and who fight all this, but I'm talking about those who want tomorrow yesterday. I have become acquainted with sobriety, and I want more and more and more, and I want it now. I want it now. Somebody once wrote a song, "Love is better the second time around." You bet it is. You bet it is. We never appreciate something so much as when we lose it. We appreciate the well, or we appreciate water when the well runs dry. And so often in my life, I have looked at non-alcoholics and said to them, you really do not know at gut level what sobriety is. You've never lost it. You have nothing to contrast it with. And when you have been deprived of the ability to love, and that's what we were made for, it really is better the second time around. And oh, do I want it. Do I want to be sober? Now, I know that that is purely an emotional reaction. I want it now, and I know I can't get it now. I can't have 36 years of sobriety until I live for 36 more years. I know, my mind tells me that, and my guts and my emotions just react against it. Why? One of the main results of our alcoholism is upending the way we function. We functioned riotously. Self-will run riot is what the big book calls it. We function E over I, emotions predominating over intellect or reason. We are creatures of emotion. Lots of pep and no judgment. The alcoholic doesn't have a nickel in his pocket and he buys a brand new Cadillac, not even knowing how in the name of heavens he's going to pay for it, but he's so drugged up he doesn't care. And these things go on and on and on. All right. He comes back into AA. The desire to drink is lifted. He is no longer consuming alcohol. Very gradually, the I gets back over the E, and he now functions, or tries to function, governed more by intellect or reason than his feelings or his emotions. All right. And so, somewhere along the line, he comes back to the basic belief that everything that is governed by law. There are physical laws, there are geometric laws, there are arithmetic laws, there are moral laws, and there are laws of time. We're all familiar with the astronauts. They get into these space machines, they are catapulted into space. After almost jillions of man hours of plotting and planning, they have to take into consideration the laws of physics, the laws of geometry, the laws of tides, the laws of the moon, the laws of the movements of planets, all to the split second. And these men, winging their way through space, hurtling toward the moon, at the proper time went to sleep and slept like babies because they knew that when they woke up, that thing would be in a specific place, going at a specific speed, governed still by the specific laws that held true before they went to sleep. All right, there are rules of time. Instead of going into a whole lot of deeply scientific talk about the rules of time, let's just take a few of the slogans that mankind has invented down through the centuries. Make haste slowly. You've heard that. Rome was not built in a day. The highest building begins with the first brick, and the longest journey begins with the first step. And we all know, when push comes to shove, as the saying goes, a blade of grass will grow a day's growth in a day's time. Now, my mind tells me all of these things. And so, with all of the emotion in me yearning for 10 years of sobriety in 10 minutes, my mind has got to tell me that I can't have 10 years sobriety within 10 minutes. Can't be done. There's no such thing as instant maturity. And here, I think, my friends, is where some AAs make a colossal mistake about making spiritual progress. For example, they figure that if I go and make a 48-hour retreat, during most of which time I talk and yak, I somehow will have instant sanctity. And that'll hold me, you know, for the next year or two. Life just is not that way. I cannot have what I want instantly, and so I must function under one of the most magnificent sayings in AA. Easy does it. Easy does it. You will have 10 years of sobriety in 10 years' time if you don't drink during those 10 years. But easy does it, because you can't have it tomorrow. Why? Why do we pull brand new members back and rein them in? Why do we constantly say to them, easy does it? We must live life one day at a time. Simplest reason on earth. Why does haste make waste? Simplicity itself, if you just let yourself think for a minute. Too much haste gives birth to instant failure. Here's a man who wants to build a house, and he climbs up a ladder and forgets he brought a hammer. I just want to do too much too soon, and I don't make proper preparation. Too much haste gives birth to quick failure. I'm building on sand. Without proper preparation, there's no honest-to-God foundation. It is bound to crumble. And what does failure cause? The worst enemy to spiritual progress on earth, discouragement. Boy, it's a devastating thing, discouragement. We all know what it's like to be discouraged. We try to do something and we fail. I experienced a wee little bit of that today, thinking about the project that I'm involved in. Discouragement's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. In my opinion, it is one of the greatest enemies to spiritual progress is discouragement. Why? Too much discouragement ultimately leads to quitting. I will quit. I try and fail. I try and fail. I try and fail. I keep getting more and more discouraged, so I just don't try anymore. I quit. Now, you know as well as I do that when that is applied to sobriety, what happens when I fail? Means I go back to it. I pick up a drink. Can't afford that. I just can't afford that. Everything in me intellectually tells me there are certain things that absolutely have to be done if I am to get sober and stay that way. I know 12 things right off the bat. It's called the 12 steps of AA. Now, my friends, I feel very strongly about this. The two men who sat down and with the help of others, outsiders, non-alcoholics as well as alcoholics, the two men who sat down and brought into being these 12 steps of recovery were not interested in writing a theoretical handbook of spirituality. They were interested in sheer survival. They just wanted to stay alive. They wanted to continue to breathe, and they wanted to live without drinking because they knew that if they continued to drink, they'd die. And so it is a passionately firm conviction of mine that all 12 steps are absolutely essential. What I'm trying to say is this. If you could get sober happily, effectively, and productively on 10 steps, that's all there'd be. If it could be done on 4 steps, that's all there'd be. Why have they settled on 12? Because the very next words out of their lips, half measures availed us nothing. I know that I have to do these things, and yet when I look at them, they're overpowering. What's the words in the big book? What an order. I can't go through with it. And yet I know it has to be done. All 12 things. And so AA looks at me like a firm, unrelenting, uncompromising mother and says, do them. This must be done. And I'm looking at it and I say, how? Easy. Easy does it. Do it easy. Let's look at this program. Let's see what haste would do in step one if I don't take my time with it and make it a firm conviction. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Suppose I just give lip service to that and I shoot through and all I want to do is help another drunk. Old Doc Green at a guest house used to say, the two steppers, you know, 1 and 12, they're going great guns and they're pulling guys into meetings until one day they make a 12th step on a fella and he says, have a drink. And the 12th stepper says, don't mind if I do. And then somebody has to 12th step the two of them. Easy does it, but do it. We have to do these 12 things. All right. If I jump in too quick, if I gloss over, if I just do them in a shallow way, discouragement will result from the failure that will result because it's inevitable. And I just might quit. I'm asked to come to believe that I can get well too through the help of a higher power. It may take me longer to come to that belief than somebody else. I may have to go to 100 meetings where somebody else only has to go to one before he comes to that belief. And I may look at him and envy him and think I have it. And then go on and find out that I don't. I really don't believe that I can get well, and if I don't believe I can get well, I'm just liable to stay sick. How in the name of heavens do I make a decision to turn myself over to the care of a God that I can't see, that I've had no relationship with, and so on? It takes a long, long time, relatively speaking, to get well. Rip used to say to us, it took you a lot of years to get into the shape you got into before you came to the front door of AA. Time is of the essence of recovery. Time, time, time. It's just like we say in the Chalk Talk, you know, the liver oxidizes or burns up alcohol at a given rate. You can either accelerate or decelerate that process. And you cannot grow simply by wanting to. One day at a time. How in the world can I ever make an inventory of my life? It's too overwhelming. I'd just rather go to another meeting. You're telling me to sit down and in the quiet of my soul admit the nature of my wrongs to this God that I fear? You're telling me to tell my whole life to another human being? Let's just run to a meeting and run to help a drunk. How in the heavens can I work on my faults? That's a lifetime job. I don't even want to think about that. Well, haste makes waste. These things need to be done if I am to get what they are supposed to buy for me, sobriety. And so I have to do them. Well, a lot of people jump into AA and they want to go, 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 go. You know, you've heard me say it so many times, the alcoholic is characterized by lots of pep, and no judgment. He's like the pilot of the airplane who made two announcements to the passengers over the PA system. He said, announcement number one, we're lost. But announcement number two, we're making damn good time. So typical of the alcoholic, he doesn't know where he's going, but he's getting there quick. And he jumps into AA, and he wants all this sobriety yesterday, and he goes barreling through, go, 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 and he mistakes activity for action and falls right on his face. Now, you've all heard the word in AA. Action is the magic word. And a lot of people believe it's movement, a lot of activity. Action takes place in the heart. Action means decision making. That's action. The will performs acts. Activity is done with your legs and usually your mouth. There's a vast difference between activity and action. And too often we mistake activity for action, and we go on this way in AA for a couple of years, and all of a sudden our sponsor sits us down one day and smacks us right in the teeth, you know, figuratively speaking, and says, you've been spinning your wheels, now let's get serious about this program. How in the world can I do it easy? How can I obey the rule, easy does it? Simply by doing it one day at a time. I have heard AA members over a lot of years say that phrase, one day at a time, saved their lives. In the very beginning, we have to be concerned about not drinking. Now, how do I spend my life without alcohol? Answer, one day at a time. How many of you, when you have 12-stepped somebody, you're in his room and he's shaking. He says, how in the name of God can I live without alcohol? And you look at him and say, can you live without a drink for a day? Well, he says, certainly I can do anything for a day. And that's the way we get him started. And sometimes if he's in bad shape, we say, can you go without alcohol for a half a day, for an hour, for 5 minutes, for 1 minute? We break it down. Even some people break down the one day at a time to 5 minutes or 1 minute at a time, whatever. What is a day? Well, it's a 24-hour period of time. It's the unit out of which a week, a month, or a year is made up. It's the light and dark day and night unit that follows the one that went before it. It precedes the one that follows it. It is the basic unit of time that we have to work with.